Steve Atwood.
The first question I would like to address is, what is the key to understanding your Bible? Well, there are several things that will be beneficial as far as understanding your Bible, and primarily, the most important thing is that we believe our Bible, and that we believe that we have a Bible that is the Word of God. I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God, and it's without error. And based upon this belief, I can trust the words as they are written on the page to mean what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it. And so in understanding the Bible, number one, we must believe the Bible means what it says. And then, as we are told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we must rightly divide the word of truth. We're going to address this a little bit more in the next question, but to rightly divide the word of truth is to distinguish between the doctrine given to the church, the body of Christ, through the Apostle Paul, as opposed to the doctrine that is given to the other writers of the Bible, which is primarily associated with the nation Israel. So the key to understanding your Bible is, number one, to have a book that is the Bible, that is the Word of God, and believe that every word of it is true. And number two is to distinguish the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, from that of the nation Israel. The next question is, what do we mean by rightly dividing the word of truth? Well, to rightly divide the word of truth would obviously be the opposite of wrongly dividing the word of truth. Everybody in religion divides the Bible somewhere. Most everybody divides the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and will readily acknowledge that the Old Testament had to do with God's dealing with his people, the nation Israel, under the law. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find that the law is still in effect. Jesus Christ said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so as Jesus Christ conducts his ministry, we find that it is limited to the Jews and to the Gentiles that come to Christ through the nation Israel. An example would be in Matthew chapter 15, also in Luke chapter 7. The Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, and is given, according to Ephesians chapter 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul wrote 13 books, and so the order that we have in the Bible is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which deals with the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ and the training of 12 disciples. In the book of Acts, the first part of Acts, those disciples are carrying out the ministry that Jesus Christ gave them, and it was a ministry to the nation Israel. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says, time and again, you men of Israel, hear these words. And the message is, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Also, the message is, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out from the times of refreshing, shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was saved and is given, as I said, the dispensation of the grace of God, and is given the job of declaring and proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God, as he points out in Acts chapter 20. So to rightly divide the word of truth is to understand that the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is found in Paul's epistles in Romans through Philemon. The other doctrine of the Bible is equally important, but it's not as important to us in that it is not the doctrine that we live by. It's not the doctrine that dictates the operation of the church, the body of Christ, that was given to the Apostle Paul. That's what we mean by... The next question I want to address is one that commonly comes up when you talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, and about Paul being our apostle, and about Romans through Philemon being the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. The question that many times comes up is, do we place more emphasis on the words of Paul than on the words of Christ? And the answer is no, in that the words that Paul writes down in his epistles are the words of Christ. I would invite you to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he will address that in that book. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was given the dispensation of the grace of God and given the job to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in his earthly ministry, if you reject whomsoever I send unto you, you reject me. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 that the message he received was by revelation. He received it not of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what Paul wrote in Romans through Philemon is not Paul's opinion, not Paul's ideas, but as Peter said, Paul was one of those holy men of God that spake as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. So the words of Paul are the words of Jesus Christ for us today in the dispensation of the grace of God. We do place more emphasis on Romans through Philemon than the other books because that is where we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Another question that comes up quite commonly is, do we believe in studying the whole Bible, or do we just read Paul's epistles? Well, obviously, we believe in studying the whole Bible. But the whole Bible makes a lot more sense when we study it in light of rightly dividing the word of truth. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You see, apart from the doctrine of rightly dividing the word of truth, we could not understand the Old Testament scriptures properly, nor could we understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Hebrews through Revelation, without seeing it in perspective of the church doctrine found in Romans through Philemon. And so we do believe in studying the whole Bible. I believe that the entire Bible is equally inspired. As Paul said, all scripture is given the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe that it's all equally inspired, it's all equally true, but I know that the doctrine of Genesis through Malachi is doctrine that is associated with the nation Israel. It's a prophecy of the coming Christ. I know that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus Christ was not preaching salvation by grace through faith alone. I know that in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, that they were not preaching salvation by grace through faith alone. They were preaching salvation by faith in the name of Jesus Christ, plus repentance, water baptism, and so forth. But when Paul came along, he was preaching salvation by grace through faith without the works of the law, and he said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so, while we do believe that the entire Bible is equally inspired, we do believe in studying the whole Bible, we do put the emphasis on Paul's epistles, for therein is the doctrine for the church. A question that is commonly asked is, what do you mean in salvation by grace alone? Well, we simply mean when we talk about salvation by grace through faith, that our salvation is totally and completely dependent upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died upon Calvary. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And Paul said that that gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. Wherein in time past there was always works associated with salvation. Today, salvation is by grace, through faith alone, without the deeds of the law, without works. It's simply by believing in what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. It's not by walking the aisle. It's not by joining the church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by turning over a new leaf or doing better or correcting things in your life or giving your heart to Jesus. It's by trusting, totally placing your trust in what Jesus Christ did in your behalf 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for your sins. That is salvation by grace through faith without works whatsoever. Another question that arises many times when you talk about salvation by grace through faith is, since we believe in salvation by grace without works, do we believe that it's important how we live? You know, it's obvious that Paul faced this dilemma in his day. When he was writing in Romans chapter 5 that we were justified by faith without the deeds of the law, and the fact that we were by one man sent into the world and by one man all can be made righteous, he addressed the problem that that doctrine was causing when he answered the question or asked the question in Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And his answer was, God forbid. We do not believe that man has the right, you might want to put it that way, or you might want to say has the liberty to live as he pleases. Now, it will not affect his salvation how he lives, because salvation is based upon what he believes. But we do realize and understand that God has given us the responsibility to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He said, we're not our own, we're bought with a price. And so the doctrine of salvation by grace in no way propagates the idea that man should live in sin and do those things which are not according to the Word of God. Salvation by grace means that we have a new motivation. It's not the motivation of the law. It's the motivation of love. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. And because of that love that Christ had for us, we should be constrained to walk in accordance and in obedience to his word, and particularly the words of Romans through Philemon that were written by the Apostle Paul, wherein we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. That's the doctrine that we're to walk by. And so salvation by grace in no way says that a person does not have a responsibility to live according to the Word of God. We do believe that a man should live holy and righteous. Yes, based on the fact that we believe salvation by grace through faith is, do we believe in keeping the Ten Commandments? And that's a good question. It's interesting that as you go through the list of commandments that was given to Exodus, or given in Exodus to Moses, that the Apostle Paul in Romans 3 Philemon tells us to keep every one of those commandments except one, and that has to do with the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a very particular commandment associated with the nation Israel, in that it had to do with the day of rest that is promised to the nation Israel, and it was a sign unto them according to the book of Exodus. Paul, in Colossians chapter 2 and 3 and several other places, Galatians chapter 4, tells us that it's not important about days and months and those kind of things. And so we do believe in keeping the commandments. We do not believe they have anything to do with our salvation. But obviously we believe that a man should not steal or lie or commit adultery or kill or any of those things. The difference is that we do not believe the keeping of the commandments is in any way associated with our salvation. We need to follow the doctrine given to the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon, not only for our salvation, but for the walk that we have day by day in his marvelous grace. And based on that, we believe in keeping the commandments that were given and given through the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon. And as I said previously, those commandments do not conflict with the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses in the book of Exodus, apart from the Sabbath day. Another question that we commonly receive concerning rightly dividing the word of truth is, do you believe in following the Great Commission? Well, no, we do not believe in following the Great Commission as it's given in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16, because that commission was given to the nation Israel for a particular gospel. It was called the gospel of the kingdom for a particular purpose. It's interesting that we can very easily identify the fact that that commission is not for us by looking at the scriptures. The commission of Matthew 28 and Mark 16 requires water baptism. All 11 men who were standing there present with the Lord were commanded to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them that believe. They were sent to preach the gospel and to baptize. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, we realize that Paul did baptize some, but that was not his commission. That was not his ministry. And had the salvation that Paul preached involved water baptism, he would have never stated that Christ sent him not to baptize. Paul said that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. And so the Apostle Paul was given a different commission, and he identifies what that is in Acts chapter 20, and he says it's to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The 12 were sent forth to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and that gospel of the kingdom involved water baptism, repentance, and so forth. Paul's gospel in involve nothing but trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we have a commission. That commission is we are ambassadors for Christ, preaching the message of reconciliation as we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Another question that comes up frequently, particularly in the day in which we're living, is do we believe in the signs, miracles, and wonders, and does God speak audibly to men today? I believe that God has spoken to us through His Word. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It's obvious as you read and study the Scriptures that the signs were for Israel. The Apostle Paul said the Jews require signs. Paul was given those signs in the book of Acts because Paul's ministry always began in the synagogue to the Jews. But as Paul's ministry continues, as he says in Colossians chapter 1, that his ministry was to fulfill the Word of God. As the Word of God became complete and filled up, then the need for the miracles and the signs and the wonders ceased. And so today we see a great exhibition of the flesh. And these things are very appealing and attractive to people, but they are not scriptural for today. Read Romans through Philemon and see what Paul has to say about these things. In Ephesians, he says that God gave gifts to the church. And those gifts are positions. They're pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles and prophets. And so the gifts for the church today are teachers who will teach the Word of God rightly divided and preach salvation by grace through faith. The miracles, signs, and wonders that God used with the nation Israel ceased when the Word of God was completed. And we are given the Word of God. And Paul said that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, and says it's profitable for several things. But he says in conclusion of that, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need no gifts today apart from the salvation provided by our Lord Jesus Christ, the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to direct us. That's where the power is today. Not in speaking in tongues, not in healing, not in laying on of hands. The power today is in the perfect, complete, pure Word of God that we have in our King James Bible.
Okay, Brother Steve, thank you very much. Brother Steve Atwood of Grace Bible Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee.